What I do know about him is in the brief times that I've met him, he feels packed full of compassion and a deep love for God. I can't explain that, but you know when you meet somebody who's evil, you know when they're evil. You know when you meet somebody who's full of love, you know when they're full of love. And that's how I know. So Father God, I want to pray for Simon now. I want to pray for the love and the deep compassion that's within him would transmit to us. That we would just hear your heart, through his words, through the preparation that he's done, through the words he brings. Yeah, give him a great time with you in the next few minutes. In your name we pray. Amen.
I want to speak this morning about living in God's will, finding God's plan and purpose for our lives. When we were praying this morning, when we arrived, Kerry prayed actually that God's a restorer, and I do believe God wants to restore hope, love, joy, peace into our hearts today. You know, we're all at a different place, aren't we? You know, we're all on a journey, if you like. We have our ups and downs. And it's great when we're having the good times, and it's great to rejoice in God, and it's really good as well to turn to God when we're not enjoying such good times, when perhaps we need him more, you know. So I just believe that God wants to speak into our hearts and minds this morning, and I think the word of God is always good news. And I believe today God really wants to encourage each one of us, wherever you're at, okay? Even if you haven't yet made a commitment to God, even if you're sat here this morning and you can't think of God as your saviour, you haven't yet made that decision, God wants to speak to you today. If you're a new Christian, or a Christian of a few years, God wants to do things in your life. If you're a Christian of many years, God still wants to do a new thing. He always, always wants us to move on in him. There's always things for us to do. There is a call on our lives. There is a purpose that we can choose to fill. God gently wants to encourage us today. He's not a condemning God. You know, very often we're not quite in that place where we'd like to be with the Father. We're not quite as we'd really like to be. We know, you know, God's calling on our lives. We know that he loves us. We know that we're saved. But just occasionally we realise as well we're not really fulfilling perhaps the plans and purpose that God has for our lives. But he just wants to encourage you today that he does want to lead you there. You know, we're a work in progress. We're not perfect, are we? We're far from it. But he wants to lead each one of us on wherever we're at. If we trust in him and we say, God, I can't do it in my strength, help me, he will help us. The closer we draw near to him, the more we will know him, the more we will know and appreciate his amazing love in our lives. A few weeks ago, we had a sharing Sunday morning. We have all sorts of different meetings in this church, don't we? And sometimes we hear, like a couple of weeks ago, Eric was here, and, you know, it was a fantastic preach. But like last week was just, I'll say just, it was the youth doing the drama and you know, that was a fantastic service, wasn't it? Such variety, and yet God speaks to us in so many different ways. It's just fantastic. A few weeks ago, we had a sharing Sunday morning, and those that had been on missions to Lesotho and Nepal shared their experiences, and the presence of God was so very evident in that meeting. And the one thing that was said most of all was that those that had gone to serve God overseas had been totally overwhelmed by God's power and love. Yeah, they'd stepped out for God. You know, it's not always easy. They'd given up their time, possibly given up, you know, paid money. There was probably a financial cost away from their loved ones. But they'd gone really to serve God and to share their faith with others. But more than anything, those that went actually received from the Lord. They went to give. They went to help other countries. They went to be a messengers, really, of God's love. And yet, in doing that, they really received God's love. And it's a beautiful thing that when we do step out, when we're stepping out for God, when we're in His will, He blesses us amazingly. You know, He pours His love and blessing out on our lives. There's no greater joy than experiencing the intimacy of God's love. If we could all just reach out and receive and witness more of God's life-changing love in our lives, our priorities would change. When you're full of God's love, it overflows. Yeah, we often read, don't we, in the Bible, that we're vessels. And when God pours His goodness in, when He pours His love and His joy into us, it does pour out again. When you fully appreciate just how much God's done for you, it just gives you that you have a peace about you, a happiness, a contentment, a joy. And that will speak to others. That will speak to those around you. Know God's love in your life, in its fullness, and your soul will be bursting to share the joy you feel. You know, some of us here today probably need to get back to that place. When you first become a Christian, it's overwhelming, isn't it? The sense of God's grace, what He's done for you. He's forgiven you. The excitement that gives you, the fact that you're saved, you're going to heaven. You know, it's fantastic, and you want to share it. It's a very special feeling, but sometimes you can go on in your Christian walk, and although you've got your faith still, you've got your salvation still, you can get into a little bit of a rut at times. Yeah, we can live lives that, you know, God wants us to live lives that are dynamic. He wants us to live lives that are just amazing, and yet quite often, if we're honest, we live lives that are a little bit ordinary. And you know that's not so bad. In you know, as long as we're looking to God to guide us, to help us, to lead us on. And if we do that, He will lead us on into areas where we will know God's power and love moving upon us and using us, so that, you know, although at times life might seem a bit ordinary, he will give us, put you in situations where you'll be able to speak to others, where you'll be able to do His will, where you'll be able to see something of God's power, and you will then realize, yeah, this is what my salvation's all about. This is what my Christianity's all about. This is what I'm living for. It's possible that you've got to a place where you're in a little bit of a rut. You're not perhaps doing all that you should be for God. And there was a time, you know, when you first got saved, that you loved God. You loved God and you loved being in His will. And you had, there was no shame in sharing your faith. In fact, your joy was so overwhelming that people noticed a difference in you. And, you know, it's possible that flame that was inside you has dimmed a little. It's possible for that to happen because the things of this world weigh you down. Yeah? At times the things we experience, all the just life in itself, There's lots of stresses and strains, aren't there? There's lots of pressures on us. There's work, there's family relationships, there's possibly debt, there's all sorts of things that can drag us down a little bit. And there's many things that can take up our priorities. Sometimes you can feel that you're no longer the vibrant child of God that you once were. But God would say this to you today. He wants you to totally fall in love with Jesus once again. Yeah? He wants you to know that his love for you has never diminished and will never diminish. That he knows you completely. In Jeremiah 1:5, God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." The Bible tells us God even knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your every thought. He sees your goodness. He sees your badness. But when he looks at you, he adores you. He truly adores us. His heart absolutely races when he thinks of us. Yeah? Some of you might be able to think back to your first love in your life and how your heart raced when perhaps they found you or you saw them. You know, the excitement. God feels that way about you many, many, many times over. He absolutely adores you. You're so precious to him that he allowed his only son, who was without sin, to take your punishment. God's love for us is simply amazing. It's unconditional. We can't earn it. It's unending. It never ever ceases. It is without limit. And we need to start rejoicing in our salvation. How wonderful is that passage in Psalm? I'm going to read from Psalm 103. So, few verses you're all very familiar with, verses 8 to 12. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. For he does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It's beautiful, isn't it? His love for us is immense. You know, some Christians acknowledge God as the Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and they ask him to be their saviour from sin. But it's possible for us to sometimes hold back from really knowing him as our loving dad, as our best friend. That's another step. And it's a step that, sadly, not all Christians take. Yeah? You can know Christ as your best friend. You can know God as your best friend, as your loving dad. All too often, we've got the perfect loving Father. Yeah, he wants to teach us and guide us and help us throughout our lives. But often we're like the stroppy teenager who doesn't appreciate the love that's shown. Those of you that have teenagers or have had teenagers will know that sometimes, you know, you can be totally loving towards your teenage child, and yet that child, you know, they've got a mind of their own. They want to go their own way. They don't always replicate the love that's shown. Not knocking my own kids, they're wonderful. Okay. Too often, we're actually like Kevin and Perry. We think we know best. We're only concerned about what we want to do. Yeah, you've all seen it, you know, the old, "You're so unfair, I hate you." And we think we know best. We don't really fully accept the amazing love that's on offer to us. And if you don't fully accept it, well, it's just plain daft, because that love is there for us. It's there to hold us, through every situation that we go through. In October, I think it was, wasn't it, we had the prayer room in Dedworth. And I went there on a few occasions, and it was a very special place. I'm sure those that went will agree. It was wonderful. I know a lot of us had really good times in there, getting close to God. And God spoke clearly to me, revealing words of truth, and quite often I felt compelled to write them down and pin them up on the wall there. And many other people did the same, and it was really good to read the truth, really, of how God sees us. And one that stuck in my mind, I felt God saying to me that, he said, "What you know of my love is like a grain of sand on a beach or in a desert. There is so much more." Imagine that. What you know of God's love is just like one grain of sand on a beach. And his love truly is for every one of us. When you're in tune with God, every time you hear the truth spoken, it seems to reach your very core. And I've been inspired by preaching we've had in this church over recent months. In the summer, Judith spoke on stepping out even when we're afraid to do so. Colin shared about living on the heights, that God has raised us up and always wants to lead us one step further. And I loved one thing that Colin said that morning. It was a really beautiful comment, and I'm sure the heavens were thrilled by it. He said, "Knowing God's power and love has totally ruined him in doing anything other than serving his Lord." Yeah. Knowing God's power and love in his life has made him really, that's his focus. That's his focus. Nothing else comes anywhere close. God wants us all to be in that place where we say, "My trust is in you alone, Lord. Direct my path, because I know that wherever you lead me is where I should be." Andy Reid preached, "Sow where you want to go." And that was a fantastic teaching. And Andy also shared about the concept that he and his wife lived by. It was a word that God gave them. It wasn't a verse out of the Bible. It was something that they've clung to. And it's not to live by mood or circumstance, but to live by predetermined godly principles. You know, how vital is that for our lives? Because so often, how we act is determined by our mood, isn't it? It's determined by what goes on around us. Our mood affects us. And very often when we make mistakes, when we behave in ways that we regret, we've behaved because we've allowed our mood to dictate to us how we're going to, the decisions that we make. But not to live by mood or circumstance, but to live by predetermined godly principles. That's fantastic. And then Vicky preached a few weeks back on being totally surrendered to God, to live for him and to share our faith. And that message really inspired me, and it got me thinking, how do we get to that place in our lives where we're no longer so concerned about ourselves, our own busy lives, and we actually say, "Lord, lead me and I will follow." You know, it's God's got this call for us, but how do we get to that point where we're prepared to follow him? How do we get to that point? So what is our calling? Our calling is to be followers of Christ, to believe in him and his promises for our lives, but also to share our faith. We've been called to share our faith. I want to read from Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 6 to 18. Romans 12, 6 to 18. "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So it's a really good passage to try and live our lives by, isn't it? Talking about the call of God on our lives, we're called to witness. I'm just going to read a quick passage from Word for Today. Sometimes takes boldness, doesn't it, to witness? Takes a little bit of guts. When we don't do something very often, it's very, very difficult to do it. Yeah, you know, to get good at anything, you need to practice in sport, whatever it is. If you're a musician, whatever it is, you need to practice. As Christians, we need to practice our faith. We need to share our faith. We need to have the boldness to do so. It takes courage to make a difference, especially when you can't see a way to do it. When he was in Africa, David Livingstone received a letter saying, "We want to send helpers. Have you found a good road into your area yet?" Livingstone wrote back, "If they only want to come when there's a good road, don't send them. I want people who will come when there's no road." It's not always easy, you know, the things we're asked to do. And it's not always easy. Sometimes we have to step out of our comfort zones. It's very easy for us to continue, as we are sometimes, just continue in our own ways. Sometimes God wants to challenge us to step out that one step further. You know, to have the boldness to really serve him, to really share our faith. At the end of the teaching on this, it says, "Christ will lead you into seemingly impossible situations. Don't avoid them. That's where you'll experience God. If you only attempt things that you know are possible with the resources you possess, you'll receive the credit and God will have no part in it. Have you received a word that awaits your next step of faith? Proceed. No matter how difficult it may seem, you'll experience the joy of seeing God perform a miracle, and so will those around you." So we need to step out when it seems difficult. We need to step out when outside of our comfort zones, really. We need to be prepared to do that. If I asked you today, who would like to be part of a really dynamic church? Nearly everybody would put their hands up, yeah? If I asked who wants to be really dynamic for God, probably the hands would go up but a little bit slower because sometimes you can be a little bit nervous, a little bit, you know, in trepidation of what God's call on your life might be. But God does have a plan and purpose for our lives, and he wants our lives to be dynamic for him. We are all called to witness, to share our faith. For many years in my Christian life, I failed to see it. As a new Christian, I shared my faith with whoever. My friends knew, my work colleagues knew. But after a number of years, I allowed the things of this world to quench my thirst for living God's way. And it led me to making mistakes and sometimes huge mistakes. But I thank God that he didn't give up on me, and he never does give up on any of us. When Eric Cowley spoke here 2 weeks ago, his heart for saving the lost was overwhelming. It was fantastic, wasn't it? You know, the passion that he had for reaching lives, for speaking God's truth. He's the sort of preacher you could listen to for hours. I took two things from his message. Firstly, there's great power in the very name of Jesus. The very mention of Jesus and the presence of God comes. His spirit comes. It's so powerful. And the second thing was, I was especially moved when he prayed for those who wanted to recommit their lives. He said to them, "Promise me this, when you mess up, run to God. Don't ever run from God." Yeah. How wise was that? Because so often, you know, we do fail. We do let ourselves down. We let God down. What wisdom is that? When you mess up, when you fail God, when you fail yourself, run to him. Run to him. Don't run from him. In my life, a couple of years back, I prayed for a job with purpose. And really, I'd say be careful what you pray for. One Sunday, I came along here and I read about a vacancy at Yeldall Manor. And I wasn't really qualified for the job. I'd never worked with drug or alcohol addicts. I'd driven plenty of them around in my taxi in Staines and Egham. But that was about the limit of my knowledge. I was offered the job. It was amazing, really. You know, obviously, I believe it was God's answer to my prayers. I said all the right things at interview. Apparently, it also helped that I support Chelsea, because the managers there are big Chelsea fans. But I do remember being asked, what would I say to residents about my own personal faith? And I said, well, I can honestly say that God has never let me down, and I know that I can trust him at all times. I think we can all say that, you know, and it's cling to that, cling to the truth of that. God has never, ever let any of us down, and you can always trust him. When I took the job at first, it was a bit daunting. On a weekly basis, I was required to take groups, talking with guys about things such as relapse prevention, but also sharing the truth of God's word for their lives. And you know, it's really good. A couple of the lads are here today. Thank them for their support. But when you're dealing with these guys, their lives have been devastated by their addiction. In some cases, they've been addicts for maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 years. For some, it's their whole adult lives, really. And for some of them, their lives have been disastrous. They've not just had a lack of love and care, but many of them have been abused, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. And many of them have experienced immense sadness at different times in their lives. And I remember saying to God, you know, I just cried out for help, really. I thought, how can I help these guys? But one very vital request that I made to God was, I said, God, give me your heart. Help me to see them, to see others as you see them. And really, that's my main message to all of us this morning. I think it's God's message to us. You know, we need to seek God's heart for those around us. We need to have God's heart for our families, for our neighbours, for our work colleagues. You know, if we saw people with God's eyes, we'd act differently, wouldn't we? You know, if we saw people as God sees them, you know, God truly values everyone. If we saw people as God sees them, we would act differently. We would say different things. So pray that prayer. Ask God to give him your heart today, and he will help you take that step on in your Christian walk. We talk a lot at Yeldal about finding true love and belonging, self-esteem and purpose. They're the core things that any of us need to enjoy life, really. Love and belonging, self-esteem and purpose. They're things that everybody's looking for, but many people look for them in the wrong places. I was speaking to an ex-resident in prison the other week, and we were talking about living in God's will, and it struck me that I don't know one person who's truly living in God's will who doesn't have more love, more self-esteem and more purpose in their lives because of their faith. And on the other hand, I don't know of anybody living outside of the will of God who doesn't have a lack of some of those vital ingredients. You know, you can find those things in God. God will just fill your heart with a peace, with a joy, with love, and then you will have self-esteem. You will find your purpose. Another thing we emphasize at Yeldal is honesty and accountability. There will always be areas in which we struggle. And one thing that, you know, we always say to the guys, especially because their addiction often comes back to tempt them time and time again, we always say never be too proud to cry out for help. But that's a word to us as well. In our struggles, never be too proud to cry out for help. God always listens. He knows our weaknesses. For many Christians, the things that trip us up could be money or sex or the longing for status and power. But God wants to, like I said before, God wants to restore us. He's a restoring God. He wants to restore us to become the men and women of God that he wants us to be. He's chosen each one of us. If any of you need prayer today, please don't hesitate. Turn to the Lord. He can help you get rid of those things in your life that will damage you. God's business is to love us, not as we deserve, but unconditionally, to mould us to one day be more like him. He wants to change our lives for the better. And more than anything, he wants to use us to help to reach the lost. We need to start believing again for those who aren't saved, those in our families that aren't saved. We need to really pray for them. We need to be desperate. We need to call upon God. We need to have a heart to see God work in their lives, to see God change them, to see God save them. You know, we've got so much to share. So, you know, sometimes we can hold back from sharing, but God's love is all that we need. And you know, you often hear people, when they talk about the lottery, they say, you know, if I won the lottery, I'd sort out all my friends and my family, you know, I'd help them pay off debts. But, you know, we are like lottery winners. We've got the winning ticket in our pockets, yeah. And some of us aren't claiming it, you know. God's got so much blessing, so much goodness to pour out in all of our lives. And we just need to home in on it, really. We just need to ask him for it, because he wants to give it to us. I was kind of thinking some time back when I was a new Christian that if only I had more of God's Holy Spirit power in my life, I could be the person God wants me to be. But this is what God said to me not so long ago. He said, "My power I give to those who have godly vision. And to have godly vision, you must first of all have my love for the lost." Yeah. So, God's heart is for the lost around you. Ask him for his heart. Ask him to help you to reach out to those around you, those who you love, who maybe are not saved. God will give you a vision if you call upon the Lord to put to have his love in your life, to really have love for those around you. He will put so much vision into you. You'll find that his plans and purposes that will be laid out ahead of you. You will find your plan and purpose in God, and he will pour out his power. But first of all, seek to have his heart. Seek to have his love in your life. I'll just finish with a prayer, really. Lord, give us more of your heart. Lord Jesus, fill us with your joy, Lord. Fill us with your joy, the joy of knowing you, that we might be the men and women of God that you've made us to be. Thank you, Lord.